Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture. Michael Sidgwick enjoying a well-earned day off to recover from Omega versus Danielson. And we are here to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage Grand Slam. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0 pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to AEW Rampage Grand Slam and the first of many, I hope not, two-hour rampages.
Yeah, like, there's a lot to love about this show. I feel spoiled to get the opportunity to do this with you today because we have a big old laugh in the office that Sidgwick does Rampage and I do SmackDown because we have very different Friday mornings as a result. This is such a treat. This is so awesome. Wednesday was, I guess, a reveal of the atmosphere we can expect from Rampage tonight. Thank you to everybody that listens to this podcast for not dropping in spoilers in the tags. Like, hugely appreciated. We talked about spoilers before with AEW Rampage. There is this strange and wonderful thing where people understand, like, everybody's passion for this product. So even though everybody knows that results are out there, and I'm sure there's, like, I would assume there's pictures and videos and all this sort of stuff, it is like some sort of silent agreement with the wrestling internet that nobody shares it unless you want to go look for it yourself.
Yes.
People love this. Spoilers haven't shown to particularly impact ratings. If you have something that people want to watch, even if they know the result or even if they know that something's going to happen, it's going to be out there. A two-hour version of the one-hour show that has already happened on paper sounds like a really disappointing experience. And yet, what it actually is, because this show has been so well booked and this product is so hot right now, this feels like part two of a pay-per-view. This feels like day two of Wrestle Kingdom when New Japan was hot. Yeah. That's what this feels like. I have, since Wednesday, like, waited for Rampage in that, oh, great, second half starting. It's just been like a two-day intermission, effectively. And I don't think this will hit the heights of Dynamite, and by that I mean the Omega Bryan Danielson match. I don't think it'll quite hit those heights, but I think it'll hit different ones. I think there'll be peaks on this show that feel more spectacular than Wednesday's, just for slightly different reasons. There's a lot to love about this.
But don't get any ideas about a regular 2 hour Rampage AEW.
Oh Christ, no, please no. Like, this will have happened because obviously they're in this building, but my gut is telling me that this will have happened because the network have asked for it, which is great. Like, awesome that TNT, TBS, etc.
Half the rash makes sense, yeah.
Like, they love what AEW are giving them at the moment. This feels like this feels like a reflection of how happy the network must be with this show that they once took a gamble on, hoping that they would get, by that I mean Dynamite, that they were hoping that might get 500,000 viewers, that is now passing 1 million a week and is getting these great, like, results and demos and stuff. And they thought, have an extra hour in this beautiful venue. Let this be a gift rather than a test, because I've had a pint bet with Andy Murray that will be settled at the Christmas party that by December, AEW will have either announced, teased, or started making Rampage a two-hour show. Oof. And he says, no, it's Arthur Ashe. It's just a nice thing for a nice company doing nice things, and it can just be that. But I remember when 3 hour Raws were that. I remember when 3 hour Raws were like, we got The Rock, so we're going to go 3 hours tonight. What can possibly go wrong? And here we are nearly 10 years later, 3 hour Monday Night Raws. That Rampage hour, even when it doesn't hit, I don't think last week's Rampage was any good at all. It's just an hour. It flies by. I don't need a change.
It feels mad that we are going to not start by talking about CM Punk's first televised match since the 20th of January 2014. Of course, remember that who that was against on Monday Night Raw, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Have a guess.
Okay.
So, obviously, his last match in WWE was the Royal Rumble. He did have a dark 3-on-1 handicap with the Shield just before that. I'll tell you, it's not any member of the Shield he faced on Monday Night Raw on the 20th of January 2014.
20th of January 2014, CM Punk.
He was there in the Nutter Center in Dayton, Ohio. That gives any clues.
That's where Bret Hart won the King of the Ring in 1993. Keep it, yeah. Because it made me laugh when JR said Nutter Center. was it a Wyatt?
It was not a Wyatt. I'll give you a couple more guesses.
Oh, God. 2014's roster. Was it Curtis Axel?
No. You're
ahead of Axelmania?
You're getting closer to the sort of area of the roster that you need to.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Bo Dallas.
It's some LTST for you that we can bring into AW. It was Billy Gunn.
Yes, it was. Because I love this. I love this. Because on the, there was a Raw throwback episode. Man, they were fun. Legit fun. They went in a lot of trouble. Remember Jet Snake came back and the snake took a shit on Dean Ambrose's face. Or he was sick on him or something like that. And everybody was like, wow, snake sick stinks. They'd done one of them and Punk was like, this is great. And he'd teamed with the New Age Outlaws one night on SmackDown, I think it was, to fend off, let's say, the Shield. Mm-hmm. Fends off the Shield of the Outlaws, and then like the big six man is booked. CM Punk versus, I would wager this is maybe like 2 weeks before Punk leaves. CM Punk and the New Age Outlaws versus the Shield. And like Punk is booked.
The week before it was that.
No wonder he walked out. Imagine being booked. You CM Punk, you're the voice of the voiceless. You're this like iconoclast. And Paul backstage is like, yeah, in the six man with the Shield, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn are going to like drop off the apron and not give you a tag and turn on you. Right, why? because it's me and you, WrestleMania, brother, and this is the start of it. Like, the Outlaws are my friends, and that's what the story that we're going to tell.
Oh, my God.
CM Punk was like, I mean, I get where you're coming from, Paul, but I think I'm going to leave this industry for 7 years instead.
Right. That's an interesting offer. It's my counter offer. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Forever.
Goodbye forever.
We'll talk about him versus Powerhouse Hobbs in tech, but we have to start by talking about a bloody lights out match, Moxley and Kingston versus Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki. I have seen a slight spoiler for this, so I'm not going to talk too much about it. I'm just going to throw it to you because this is going to be wild.
Oh, fun house, it's a whole lot of fun. People gonna die. It's just like, what I love about this is that it's like legitimately wacky in all the good ways. Moxley, Kingston, Suzuki, Archer. Violent men doing violent things to each other, but in that way where the fans are going to be so electrified by these acts of violence that it's going to feel like a party. Like, it's going to feel like the evening do of a wedding. That's what this is. This is as much as this is like bloodthirsty, and like you've had the match with Suzuki and Moxley, and you see the way they like throw these punches at each other. Like, they don't look like they're throwing fists. Like, they look like cannonballs. They're just like lobbing these things at each other's faces. It's going to be so joyous. It's not going to be this, everything has to end. Like, one of us can't walk out of here, which is what like the wrestlers feel like it is. It's like, you're going home in an ambulance. That's like what this is supposed to be. In reality, it's going to be as fun as, I don't know, let me think of an example out of thin air. As fun as doing Wild Thing and My Way on karaoke, which the Dudley Boys definitely didn't do last night. It just feels so, like, this is not 2.0, but this match feels so colourful. You think about it, you just think of vibrancy, you think of joy, you think of euphoria, you think of the audience going nuts for everything. And I expect the babyfaces to win, because I'm assuming Suzuki's as good as done with this particular stint in AEW. And that doesn't really, like, it doesn't matter, does it?
No. Just it's a lights out match at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's not for rankings, it's just a blast. Just a really good time. If the good times that you like are guys getting, like, bloodied up.
It's just going to be, I mean, Kingston in Arthur Ashe, just going wild.
Yeah.
So Moxley needs no encouragement. We've talked a lot about his journey that he's on right now.
I love it when he throws those plastic pint glasses. It's unbelievable. Like, I feel something that I can't reconcile when he throws a plastic cup on the floor. He walks out and he's just like so angry with everybody. Maybe even including Eddie Kingston, but he's like, I hate you, but I love you. Mm. So it's all right. The energy that that man exudes right now is like irresistible. And long may it continue if and when this forecasted heel turn occurs, because I think that John Moxley is the first guy in a generation when you know those videos that you see every now and then of Bruiser Brody in Japan and everybody's yes. terrified.
Yeah, yeah,
we're
yeah.
on the verge of that in 2021 with John Moxley because of what he manages to exude. Like, I know that the argument could be, well, he doesn't come through the people anymore because he's stopped being a man of the people. He's just for himself. I think it's better. Like, because I want to see the terror in people's eyes, or I want to see the idea that, like, there's no barriers. He walks through that bit of the crowd. There's never, like, guards, is there?
No.
But the idea that, like, as a heel, like, a fan is like, ah, you know, all this sort of stuff. And Moxley just glares at him, and the guy sits back down.
Yeah.
Like, I love that energy that he's radiating. And this is fun because he's a hero to people, and he's, like, Eddie Kingston's best mate. But every week, you just see a little bit more hatred, don't you? Just a little bit more fury in that man's eyes. Because he's got all these crosses to bear and he's got all these things that he's really pissed off about. And I John Moxley is, when you really look at the matches over the course of the year, he won't be in the conversation for wrestler of the year, and he should be again. Mm. We knew what he contributed to 2020 because you saw it every week. The quality's been amazing. The character work's been sublime. But just other people have been doing more headline grabbing stuff. He's one of like this year's top guys.
Absolutely.
I love John Moxley.
And across from the ring, you've got bloody Minoru Suzuki and Lance Archer. Everybody dies. And then with Moxley, of course, you've got Eddie Kingston who can say, everybody.
These nuts.
So there you go.
Cause I need these nuts.
Right, let's talk about the super click in AEW. Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, they dived in and super kicked bloody Bryan Danielson after that epic draw on AEW Dynamite, and then were eventually chased off by the people they're going to face tonight, Christian Cage and Jurassic Express. It feels like a, you know, not straightforward victory, but an obvious victory for the super click to really establish Cole in the books as this force. Maybe even for a potential trios division, but also you and I will be keeping an eye out for more fractures is the word I was looking for, between Jungle Boy and Christian Cage, because I feel like that turn's coming.
This is all great, man. This is why it's a great time to be an AEW fan. A match where the work is going to be good. The experience is going to be enjoyable as a fan. Like, in and of itself, on an island, get your laps fan mate and be like, watch this, it's really good. That guy's a dinosaur. Like, that guy's Luke Perry's son. These guys...
That guy's the most handsome bastard in all of wrestling.
Yeah, like, there is something to love about all of these guys. I'm assuming you meant Christian there, so keep Vince McMahon. Like, that guy, when he worked somewhere else, the boss wanted to put a blue dot on his face. you know, the guy that's drawing you into this.
Yeah.
Like, it's so great. Like, there's, like... Dream match gets thrown on a lot. This is not a dream match, but it's a daydream match. It's the sort of thing you would think of and be like, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
It can happen, but that'd be fun. And here we are. Great six man. But AEW is great because this match is awesome. And at the same time, things are happening with both teams that don't at all relate to both teams. So the Superclick win, I agree. A Superclick win tonight. And the message underneath all of this.
I hope they wreck Marco Stunt as well. I love you, but I hope they really ruin him.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Marco Stunt, right? Because I think tonight, Adam Cole is going to do something really horrible to Marco Stunt. But ask yourself, why? Why is he targeting Marco Stunt? Who hates Marco Stunt? Who hates Marco Stunt more than anybody on the AEW roster?
Omega.
And has made it very clear. Kenny Omega despises Marco Stunt. It's secretly a better long-term story than the Hangman Page angle, is how much Kenny Omega hates Marco. Remember when he attacked him from behind with a chair? Remember before they'd all turned and the Bucks were like, whoa, calm down. Like, Omega was just
Ken, mate,
just lost it. Like, Adam Cole, not only taking Omega's best mates, not only taking the kill shot on Bryan Danielson, but taking Marco Stunt's head off with a last shot or with a Panama Sunrise or something.
Panama Sunrise, yeah.
It's like, you're not even the best at hating Marco Stunt. I'm better at hating Marco Stunt. Like, the subtext of Adam Cole gradually lifting the Elite away from, or lifting the Young Bucks and all of that away from Omega.
Yeah, it wasn't an accident that last week on Rampage, sorry to interrupt, but it wasn't an accident that last week, I think it was last week on Rampage, they aired that vignette and he said, I'm not even in my prime and I could beat Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, exactly. Like, everything they're doing is telling you that eventually, like, the Elite might kick Kenny Omega out in favour of Adam Cole. They might take the handsome new sex instead of the old ex. That's like, that's what they've got in Adam Cole. So you got that on the heel side. On the babyface side, you've got a team that it's okay for them to lose because it is time for fractures, as you put it. It is time for cracks. Christian Cage shushed Jungle Boy.
Oh.
Like he shushed him. Like, that is, like, so not on that it's worse than a punch in the face. Like, it's like, that was so patronizing and condescending. And Christian has been so good at showing the world that he's an arsehole without telling people. Like, the amount of times Christian Cage has done stuff in this AEW run that is completely becoming of, and I hate this term because WWE forced it down throats, but like, that kind of creepy little bastard that he once was.
Mm.
Like, the amount of times he's done it and yet it's made sense contextually is inspired, because when he turns, and he is going to turn, and Jungle Boy's going to get his big win, and this is going to be like a huge moment for Jungle Boy in terms of his ascension, it's going to be along the lines of, what made you think I was a good guy? You hung out with me for all these weeks. And how many times, like, after I'd left the room, did you just turn to Luchasaurus and be like, it's a bit much, isn't it? Like, like, how many times has, like, Christian Cage accidentally, like, turned the room a little bit dark or a little bit sour or a little, like, that Wednesday Night War comment? Like, of all the guys, you would have never imagined it to be Christian Cage. And then you think about it, it makes all the sense in the world that he would, like, just turn the arsehole switch up to 11, just for the crack. Just like, what a dick. Like, there's no, he's not a virtuous man. And I love that, like, I'm assuming the loss that they're going to take tonight, that's going to further drive that home. Because next week, like, Jungle Boy's going to do that kind of baby face. Friday was a tough night, but we're going to get back on track. We've got this match against, you know, whoever, the Acclaimed or something. And Christian Cage going like, yeah. Don't worry about Sunday. You came up short, but that's all right. Like, I'll get you through this. Like, yeah. The journey that you get on with these guys is just brilliant. And like I say, the fact that the match delivers anyway is almost the least important ingredient of all of this.
Exactly.
I've got to mention this because I keep thinking about it. Like, a number of people have suggested this, so this is by no means like, you're not going to believe this awesome fantasy booking, because it's like, it's right there. But like, the idea that when Cole and the Bucks kick Kenny Omega to the curb and it's Hangman Page that picks him back up is absolutely mouth, like, I'm literally feeling the saliva form in my mouth thinking about Kenny Omega lost and Hangman Page extending his hand to him. Like, imagine Kenny Omega starts to fall and Hangman Page catches him by then, and like, oh my God, Hangman Page, by then, AEW World Champion, lets the belt drop to the floor in order to catch Kenny Omega.
Great visual.
Oh yeah. My God, like, the stuff that they can do with this. This is why Omega thinks in years, because it's the stuff like that gets you really hyped for stuff that might never even happen, or visions of a strange future.
And my prediction for this match is probably, because they bloody love going for people's masks, is them taking Luchasaurus out there by going for his mask. Yes. And then isolates maybe a Jungle Boy, because he's Teflon to losses and he's bloody Jungle Boy at the end of it. Right, let's get to it. The returning wrestler, fed up of fighting off these evil foes, Anna Jay faces Penelope Ford tonight.
You prick. Yeah, you prick. Right, because I think there are some reasoned criticisms to be had of this match, but you've just made me sound like a dick because I got hyped.
Just seeing the reaction here of him like, yes, Anna Jay. I think this is where we've got to draw a line under all this. She's beating the bunny. It's the natural reaction to the brass knucks and whatever. And maybe there's going to be more stuff with the slowly disintegrating Dark Order and all this, but it's going to be an Anna Jay victory, one would assume, because I'm just fed up of distractions and roll-ups with this sort of thing.
Yeah, I would like Anna Jay to win, because one of the things I really like about the not-that-well-performed current issues in the Dark Order is I like that Anna Jay and Tay Conti are like, sort of, like, I love that they just are livid with these guys not being able, these idiot blokes not being able to put their ego to one side and make friends. So I think it's important that Anna Jay wins. I don't want them to, I'm thinking about this now, like, they could go down the route where, like, the Dark Order dissension actually costs the babyfaces. You know, like, Anna, not that she's distracted. I'm not saying she's going to, like, poke her head out the ring like WWE and be like, what's going on the floor? And then gets rolled up or something. But, like, the sheer stress of the issues in the Dark Order ultimately ends up costing her. You know, you get the, again, because I'm not a big fan of, like, the idea that the men circle in the ring, because then it becomes like the women are more defined by the men they're with rather than the actual feud themselves. This is just, I admire the attempt to have a feud, have a program, have an issue that isn't around the women's title, because it's the first baby step. But it's not been a particularly enthralling one. And the problem is, AEW have tried to, I'm assuming, have tried to do this because they're trying to respond to the valid criticisms about the state of the women's division. But like, right, okay, let's have a secondary and tertiary angle in this league that isn't about the belt. But because it's so underwritten, that undermines the point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because there's been so little to this. There's so little meat on the bone. It's proper match to build match stuff. They just have matches, the heel cheat, the bunny does this. You know, like, it's so, like, last thing before we finish for the day stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you picture the creative team and somebody's saying, I'm getting pretty hungry. Can we, like, go out for tea? And then they're just like, what we got left? Ah, yeah, we need something for Anna Jay, or we need something for the bunny, or whatever. Like, Penelope Ford's not got much going on. What you got? Yeah, the, like, Zapatistas closes at 6. Can we, you know, like, tapping the watch and stuff? cheap finish rematch. Yeah, good. Right, great. I'll have a spicy beef burrito, please. Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
So you can't do one thing and then half-arse it so much. So wrap this up. Fold it into the Dark Order again. Not because I'm advocating the idea that, like, what about the men's story? Why watch? But because it's the only juice left in this specific fruit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, let's get on to it now. The stable that everyone keeps talking about. HFO, no. I'll let you do it now. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. CM Punk's first televised match in what? 7.5 years, yeah. Whatever it is. And he's not taking it lightly. He's going up against Powerhouse Hobbs, and this is going to be a brilliant and a very different dynamic to when he faced Darby Allin at the pay-per-view.
Absolutely. Not least because Billy Gunn's going to run in with a famouser for the big Powerhouse Hobbs win. Yeah, this is brilliant. This is already brilliant, and it's not even happened. CM Punk, as called by a podcaster, came out on Wednesday and said, I want all of this. And Team Taz want to stop me having all of this. Like, why are you being a prick, Taz? Basically, why are you being this way? I don't want to have to do what I'm going to do with Powerhouse Hobbs, but I'm going to do it because you've made it this way. I love this setup so much. I love the idea that Powerhouse Hobbs looks and wrestles like a final boss, and yet the booking of this feud is such that he's basically the first of several Team Taz versus CM Punk matches.
Building to Hook, obviously.
Well, of course, the big Hook match, you know, like the big Hook. Ideally, the Hook was happening tonight because, of course, the Mysterio turn is happening on the other channel, so you could have had the big second generation stuff. Well, you know, come on, AEW, get your shit together. Like, But yeah, like, so you've got the big Ricky Starks match. You've got what we all want to see, which is Taz getting back in the ring for Taz Mission versus Anaconda Vice. They played War Machine to the crowd. Like, if Team Taz all together behind Powerhouse Hobbs come out to that, like, survive if I let you. And then you get Cult of Personality back to back to back to back. I'm not sure that I'll be able to sit with you on Monday, because I'll never be able to sit down again because I can't be pulled down from the ceiling. Like, the response to punk wrestling is going to be electrifying, because how happy were the Arthur Ashe crowd for him on Wednesday? So the fact that you get, like, you buy your ticket, right? And then they say, oh, you're getting Dark, you're getting Dynamite, and you're getting Rampage. Oh, what's on the show? Like, you know, for one ticket, one CM Punk appearance would more than suffice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
You get a promo to build a match. And then you get the match.
Promo of the eight for the ages as yeah, well.
It's classic all-timer CM Punk promo. And then you get the match that he's just promoed for you, like, a couple of hours later. That is the hottest ticket in town. The crowd are going to be fired up for this. I hope Powerhouse Hobbs has his best match yet, because he shows all this cool, raw potential as what you need to be now. Like, you can't just be a muscle guy. You've got to be, like, a hybrid guy. And I think he's got all of that sort of stuff. Punk wins. But yet again, the story is told that he is not so much testing himself as he is accepting that standards are higher.
Yeah.
And, like, there's going to come a point in this match, and it's not going to be like the Bret Hart stuff. The look after the Darby Allin throw was a nice nod, but it was in character too. It was like, ooh, they're like, I've got to, like, stay on my toes here. Mm. And there's going to be a really great moment in this match. Not where, I don't even think there's going to be like a near fall tease. I don't think it's going to be that type of thing. But there's going to be a point in this match where CM Punk has to, like, really dig deep.
Yeah.
He's got to, like, Powerhouse Hobbs, he's going to throw him against a post or something. And the camera's going to go in tight on Punk. And he's going to, just for a second, look like a guy that can't do this anymore. And then, because he's so brilliant at the little details, he's going to change his face and he's like, I've got to get through this. Mm. And then that fire up, that power up, that, like, big baby face moment is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, a few things I want to say here. He's a man who loves doing callbacks, obviously, as we alluded to there. I don't know whether you want to lean into his history with someone like a Ryback, because then I suppose you're sort of insinuating that Powerhouse Hobbs is a dangerous performer. I don't really want to go down that road, because he's not. He's just a big guy, in comparison. So I don't know whether you do that, but you could do, I think it was Burke. Was it Elijah Burke he was fighting on ECW? Was that famous clip of, oh, that hurt.
Wow, that hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe that happens here, but I'm very aware that I don't want to besmirch Powerhouse Hobbs, because I just want to showcase how mint he is and how he's growing into this. And I mean, he literally tweeted the other week, like, this month last year he got the All Elite thing, and now he's facing CM Punk. It's madness.
Hell of a year.
But as also you alluded to on, I think, the Dynamite review, maybe the Dynamite preview, I can't remember exactly which podcast it was, this is not a match he needs to necessarily win with the GTS. He can win with the Anaconda Vice. That gets that over again. And you've got the beauty of the four-man booth with, I think, well, Ricky Starks was there last week. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's going to be there this week. I haven't read anything about that. But it would be a nice touch to have him on commentary for this. Trying to, you know, put over Hobbs and undermine alongside Taz, perhaps undermine CM Punk as well.
How great was Taz on commentary during Brian Cage versus Hangman Page? And how at first he tried to be professional, at Double or Nothing.
Yes.
He tried to be professional in, like, the first half of the match. And Taz is a really good commentator. So he's talking about, like, why this move works, why this is dangerous, what this hurts. And then just gradually, as, like, Brian Cage, as the match started to slip through Brian Cage's fingers, Taz got so pissed off. It's like, ah, oh, God damn it! Like, just got angrier and angrier and angrier. I want that out of him tonight, if he's on commentary with his boy, Ricky Starks. Like, I love the idea that Starks is going to sit there and use this as a scouting mission.
Mm.
And, like, maybe Team Taz don't run in and attack after the bell, but maybe they scrape power. Like, maybe Taz and Starks leave the booth and scrape Hobbs away after the loss. And you've got this, like, nice standoff. It's like, Punk's like, that's my first one. I took one of them out. Like, I'm coming for him next. Or, what, you know, something like that. Just really love the idea of it. I don't even think, like, those comparisons you made about his WWE stuff, like, that's not even in bad faith. Punk is really good, as you say, with the callbacks. And have you noticed, and I love this because I love aesthetics in wrestling, have you noticed that they've reintroduced the print on the canvas?
Yes.
The Rampage, like, things in the corners of the canvas last week. Like, maybe, like, CM Punk takes a bump on some of that imprint, and he can just check that he's not got a staph infection. Like, oh yeah, I love this WWE stuff.
Also, before I forget, massive nod to AEW for the pizza boxes.
The pizza boxes.
Hey, you got a pizza pie? You want it in an AEW Rampage box, you schmuck?
There is nothing more that I want to get a taste of than one of those AEW Rampage pies. That's what it is.
Give me a 10-second segment with 2.0 and a pizza box.
Oh, God, can you just imagine, like, you've got, like, Jeff and Matt talking about a Rampage pizza, and then, like, somebody walks backstage. You know, like, how Renee did on Being the Elite. Some poor, dark elevation loser walks backstage. He's like, you want to get a taste? And, like, Danny Garcia has had enough and just, like, jams a pizza in some guy's face. Just, like, smushes it in his face. Like, how do you like that? You want pepperoni with that?
Who has pineapple on a pizza, you schmuck? You want to be a wise guy, yeah?
I'll stuff your crust.
Right, let's talk about this mad eight-man that we've got to look forward to as well tonight. Lucha Bros, Proud and Powerful versus Private Party, Butcher and Blade. You've got the tag champs. You've got potentially the next challenges for the tag champs on the same team. And HFO, who are just all over AEW right now.
Yeah. How? I like this match, but I don't love it. How can the babyface side coexist?
Yeah.
When clearly a title match is in the offing. This is the better version of a bad thing. AEW will make this match feel relevant and important because you've got in Proud and Powerful the obvious contenders for the tag titles. They're going to eyeball the belts, all that really cool stuff, you know. Unfortunately, they're across from the ring from the Hardy family office. We are in the office today, and I always get nervous in case Andy Murray can hear me being critical of the Butcher specifically, because he's class. The Butcher is brilliant.
Yeah.
I was keen to heap praise on the Blade last week because I thought he came across like this really awful thug in that match on Rampage. Like, I've never kind of seen so much out of him that, like, I've completely bought into. I didn't think it was a great match, but I thought the Butcher and the Blade showed signs of their characters that reminded you why they're a very, very worthy, like, sort of... They certainly earn their spot in this tag division amongst teams that are very different to them. Like, I love that the Butcher and Blade have this spot. They're going to lose. The HFO are going to lose. Matt Hardy's got nothing going right, which feeds in, I guess, all the more to this eventual loss to Orange Cassidy when, like, the world is kind of...
Hair versus hair thing. That yeah. Just, yeah.
Have I got my references right? Is it a Samson? Like, Samson loses
yeah,
his hair?
Yeah, I think so.
And, like, so he's, you know, he's lost his hair. The Hardy family office has just lost and lost and lost and lost. Matt Hardy can't get any lower, and then he's sort of bounce back thing, but he's bald and all that sort of crack. So the babyfaces win. But what I would like from this, Proud and Powerful can't do what Rey Fénix does, but they can do their own version of awesome.
Yes.
And I want them to do something in this match that forces, of all people, a Rey Fénix and a Penta to be like, oh, no. Like, as much as this is set up, we've seen these eight mans all the time, there's going to be some really cool Phoenix stuff. We know that. We know there's going to be some awesome spot. We have said before that sometimes it's the Young Bucks that are the key ingredient to these matches, so I'll be interested to see, like, how this goes without them as a part of it, because they're so ingenious agent in these things. Phoenix is going to do some wild stuff. P&P can't top it, but their own version of that can be just as awesome. And when they win the match, and I do expect them to be heavily involved in the finish, I think it's integral to the story that they're the ones that, like drive the win here, that, like, dominate the team. I want Penta and Fénix to realise the danger they might be in. Everyone can raise their arms. Everybody can be like, good night at work. But you want to kind of get that anxiety that the champions have got a hell of a challenge on here with these two. Because I don't think the FTR feud was... I don't think it was that for Proud and Powerful intrigues. I don't think it gave you that. There wasn't a takeaway that... These are, like, the next in line. These are the best in the industry. And I'm still waiting for that, because they are. Like, Proud and Powerful are every bit as good as we know they are. But I don't think AEW have given them the angle to express that yet.
And I think AEW recognises sometimes you have to change things up. And I believe that you've had such blood feuds, such, you know, real animosity between, like, Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks. And, like you say, Proud and Powerful and FTR. Mm. That a nice, respectful... You know, we're still going to beat the crap out of each other, but a sort of, maybe not necessarily a handshake deal, but we're next in line for those belts. We know you're next in line for those belts, and coming together of, like, fair play, but when these belts are on the line, we're not going to be this sort of chummy, basically.
I think that's it. I think, like, you can do, it's you can do a babyface match. It's hard, obviously, to like measure how the reactions are going to go. But I think if you look at these specific workers as well, there's no reason why you're not going to draw the fans in. I would imagine Proud and Powerful will ultimately, like, they'll be the more sympathetic of the two acts on the night. So just lean into how much of a bastard Penta is. You know what I mean? Like, have him be his cruelest self, as we know he can be. And bingo, you've got it. I think, like, I cannot wait for the match. And they've not even really shown us it yet. I would expect to be shown it tonight.
Just a nice touch to have Proud and Powerful wrestling in New York City, really.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the response they're going to get is going to be fantastic. We say this a lot with AEW, but like, it's going to be thrilling.
Effectively, you know, I don't know where this is going to go on the show, of course, but a 5-hour show, I mean, the fans aren't going to need any Ovaltine to go to bed after. It's going to be burnt out. But I think that the quality of stuff on this show, where sometimes I think you can say that when they've done a Rampage tape and there's been a big thing and then just a couple of other things to fill the hour, not to patronise them too much, and fans are a bit like, oh God, well, we've had Dark or Dark Elevation or whatever it is, then Dynamite and then Rampage. This is even longer, and yet with what they've got, I don't think the crowd's going to lose any momentum, to use a WWE phrase. Right, finally, let's talk Men of the Year versus Chris Jericho and Jake Hager, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, of course. I want to talk about that match, but I also want to talk about the sort of the ghost, the spectre at the feast that is a lot of MMA fighters that Chris Jericho, and, you know, this is kind of more my wheelhouse than yours, has really disrespected. He's gone, oh, yeah, like, you don't want to scrap with the inner circle in New York. And I sit there and go, I do if I'm Junior Dos Santos or Andrei Arlovski, because they were like heavyweight champions, if not contenders, in UFC. Is this the night that maybe Dan Lambert sicks them on them?
I hope so. Who are the men of the week? The men of the year? Because I know it's the boys of the week. I screwed that up. Like, how can I ever go at Jake Hager when I screwed that up?
I do like the fact that someone put, I could apologise for whoever this was. Someone pointed out that it actually, that line was lame, and it was a bit, you know, we were doing the whole Riot Squad sort of stuff from back in WWE. Feel less, might feel more. But if anyone can pull it off, it's the guy who just went, championships, yeah! So that sort of works with Jake Hager, but yes. How do you see this one playing out?
What we're all saying, basically, is like, the stupid guy can say the stupid stuff. Yeah. Say something stupid, Paul. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've come up with the best use of Dan Lambert, and it's that he's the manager of Cody Rhodes when he turns heel. American nightmare, top team, nightmare family, American stuff. Cody being livid with the people in AEW that he doesn't like anymore, Dan Lambert being livid with everything. Like, I think this Men of the Year thing is not hitting in the way that I would like, because, like, come on, like, Dan Lambert's, like, undeniably brilliant at this.
Just don't make him Cornette light in my
eyes. Yeah, like, they're leaning too hard into that. He will, if you give him a message about anything, he'll get it over. But for all that, like, you believe, and he's got a good sense of conviction with this story, Men of the Year are not really his guys. Chris Jericho, this feels like a lot of Chris Jericho stuff in AEW, feels a bit like an indulgence. So I hope he loses. Like, I hope that they lose. I've got real worries that the fired up Chris Jericho on Wednesday not only gets to talk about the MMA guys, but then beat him up and all. Like, that whole stuff about the Inner Circle, it didn't feel real. Like, what even is the Inner Circle anymore? Have you ever heard of the Pinnacle? Did we imagine that? like, Proud and Powerful are in a different match with a different team. Sammy Guevara's got his business with Miro. Like, Jericho and Hager, like,
they're a great tag team.
They're an awesome tag team. They're an awesome tag team. But, like, let's not pretend here that, like, we know why you came with Arthur Ashe. It's for Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. Like, we got New York on our side. It's our home territory. Like, it's bollocks. Like, and I don't know. I don't feel much for this, but I will if, like, I will genuinely, if Men of the Year win, I need to see conviction from AEW regarding Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page beyond a couple of fun promos in between just losing over and over again. The thing with the Darby Allin Sting defeat was that angle was so much fun and Sting's performance was so incredible that you didn't really mind. It was like, oh, they were sort of perfect warm bodies for Sting to have this great night. Like, if you're serious about making this Dan Lambert Men of the Year stuff work, and I guess, like, the inclusion of the MMA fighters suggests that they are. It's not, like, half-baked. You've got to put them over. Like, this cannot be another case of just the Inner Circle beating the Pinnacle like a drum. Like, and I don't think there's much wrong with Jericho taking a lot of losses, because we know that Fozzy are going on tour. He feels very much like a product, and this is not a negative, he feels like a product of AEW Chapter 1, when we're very much in AEW 2.0 right now. Like, you can feel it, can't you? Like, we have absolutely moved into the next stage.
Leveled up,
yes, in AEW. And somebody needed, like, somebody needed to be Chris Jericho when AEW launched. And thankfully, it was Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
His achievements and his the importance of his role early on will never, ever be forgotten. I'm not a Jericho guy at all, and I would never not acknowledge just how vital he was to that whole thing taking off in the way it did. But it is probably best to have him lose a lot right now. He's going to be disappearing for a tour. He is a character that now can exist to get people over in the traditional way. Like, he doesn't need to go 2-1 with people. He doesn't need to have, like, a fun night, sing-along Judas, and then lose. He can just get beat quite a bit. The entrance is where you get your sing-along. Like, this could be super, super helpful for the men of the year. I'll be scratching my head a bit if the babyfaces win.
No, it has to be a victory for the men of the year for me, considering what they went through. Yes, they got moments of shine against Darby Allin and Sting and stuff, but in the end...
And what's this all about if they're not winning, you know?
And what I do is... It's a big weekend for UFC. As a fan of UFC, it's a big week. There's two title fights on this weekend. Nick Diaz is back fighting. He's fighting Robbie Lawler. That's min. There's a guy who's got big KO power in the heavyweight division. A guy called, I think, Rosenstruik. I always butcher his surname. He's fighting this weekend. So there's buzz around that in terms of, like, getting eyes on their product, having a JDS or an Andrei Arlovski or even a Jorge Masvidal. I don't think he's probably going to be there, but, you know, we've seen more of members of ATT as we've seen more of Dan Lambert. I'd have those guys, your JDSs and your Jorge JDSs and your Andrei Arlovskis, neutralize the threat of Jake Hager, take him out of the match, isolate Jericho, and then I'd have Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. You know, Scorpio Sky's got legit MMA experience. Ethan Page is black belt in numerous, skills. I'd have them just wreck him.
I love that.
And I'd have them win. But I'd also do a bit more of the MMA sort of thing. Yes, they twat him, hit him with some mad double team finisher, 1-2-3. But post-match, Dan Lambert doesn't say, "You're winners by pinfall." He says, "You're winners by knockout." And there's your setup. Because I think that's exactly what they need as a sort of springboard going forward, more so than just Dan Lambert, you know, great as he was in, you know, you talked about him in Impact and things like that. It's just him reciting whatever Cornette would probably say about this promotion is wearing a little thin for me.
Lambert should be angry that this match is getting in the way of his crusade. Like, I'm just going to vocalise this. Dan Lambert hates, his words, young, skinny wrestlers. Why is he fighting Chris Jericho? I'll leave it at that. Get them out of the way and get on with whatever it is that Dan Lambert wants to get on with.
Before I wrap up, a very quick apology in advance. Our AEW Rampage review for this show won't be out till Tuesday because WWE have got a pay-per-view on Extreme Rules. Myself and Hamflet will be previewing that tomorrow. We'll be reviewing that in the small hours of Monday morning. So we won't get around to reviewing Rampage until Tuesday, but that'll be me and the Dudley Boys reviewing it. We will get to it eventually, basically. But let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Rampage Grand Slam on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflet at...
Michael Hamflet.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcast. The SmackDown preview is available right now, and Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz is coming later on today. But for now, this has been the AEW Rampage Grand Slam preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflet. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.